Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. It's Sarita with Hard Talks and Real Love. I really just wanted to mention to you guys that I appreciate you for tuning in. If this is your first time catching a podcast, welcome. If it is your fifth time catching a podcast, I'm glad you returned. I basically am here just sharing my experiences with you guys and things that I feel led to mention because I think that in life there's a lot of growing that a lot of people need to go through, that everybody needs to go through, and that looks different for everybody. So in hearing other people's stories, you realize you're not alone, and you realize that maybe if you had been questioning something and you felt like a crazy person, maybe you're not crazy. So I have held on to this for a little while because I am a very considerate person whenever it comes to what I say in terms of if it is my story to tell or if it is something that I should just not, you know, mention, especially if it involves other people. But I feel like it's been long enough and it's come to a point that it is something that I need to go ahead and share. So I had a lot of unhealed trauma, and part of that unhealed trauma was not understanding the mindset that I had. When I say that, gosh, I feel like this is going to be all over the place. So I feel like I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance because there's just so much with this that I don't know exactly how to get it all out without it being a little scrambled, but it will all come back together, I promise, okay? So I had some unhealed trauma, and like when I understand that whenever people hear the word trauma, they think immediately of like super traumatic experiences, and that's not necessarily how trauma develops, okay? Trauma can be something that is so small and can seem insignificant to others, but it has an impact in your life. And a lot of people don't look at it that way, so they don't realize that's actually what that is. I had a lot of unhealed trauma from like past childhood experiences, technically childhood, but things that may have happened in high school, and it kind of all developed this character into adulthood. And I didn't realize the way I responded to things was because of that, or the way I felt emotions towards different situations was because of those unhealed traumas. And it wasn't until I discovered that unhealed traumas were even a thing and that there were other adults walking around that felt like I did that, hey, maybe that's something that you need to address. So things that I already stood for kind of just got backed by the psychology of people, and how we work and how we, develop as people and things like that. And so I know that that seems like a huge, like just bunch of blanket statements, but I wanted to start with that because that will tell you or help explain a little bit whenever we start getting into this. So I am a very independent person. I do not like to ask for help. It is a downfall of mine, and when I do ask for help, I feel like I am asking too much. I am currently still working through this as a 30-year-old female in a relationship, in a very healthy relationship with somebody who adores taking care of me and whose love language is feeling fulfilled by taking care of me, okay? It is so hard for me, and I never knew, okay, that I would even come into this situation, but it is so hard for me to ask for help, and he never, ever, not once, okay, even when I'm like, hey, can you just go get me a pair of socks? I'm cold. Like, he's like, yeah, whatever you want, I'll get it for you, after I've just asked him to get me five other things, right? He's like, no, it's fine, like, I'll get you whatever you want, I want to take care of you. You know, but it's hard for me because I'm like, I just asked you to do two other things. Like, are you sure you don't mind? Like, I'll get up and get it. Okay. That is how, that is how much it is a problem for me. And so When I went into moving down to Florida, I've lived here for 2 years now. Okay. Going on 3 years. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. It's a little bit late than I'm recording this, but, when I moved down here, I moved down to Florida and I did a program where, it was with a college program with Disney. That's how I was like, I'm going to get my foot in the door. I'm going to take this and do this. And I did that for 6 months and then my 6 months ended and I knew I was going to stay and I didn't have anywhere to go. Now, I want you to keep in mind that I am somebody who is going to be very transparent with you about a lot of things because I think that it's really healthy to talk about things. It's not healthy to keep it all in, especially, like I said, if you don't realize there are other people who are going through the same struggles that you are going through, you are always going to feel a little bit like a freak or a failure, and there's no use in beating yourself up about stuff, okay? So, I do not have the best track record with finances. I don't, okay? My parents believed in the non-credit card system. If we don't have cash for it, we don't buy it. And I thought, okay, that's fine. I'll try to build my credit as a young adult and just screwed it up and kept screwing it up and kept screwing it up. I let a lot of excuses get in the way of doing things. So I didn't really know how to budget. And I screwed up a lot of things. And I am still dealing with those things. And I'm still teaching myself to this day how to be financially successful and flexible and healthy and know how to manage things properly, which a lot of people struggle with. Like, that is something that I'm still mad about, that they didn't really help us with in high school. You know, they're like, here, take economics, but we're not really going to teach you how adult life actually works, right? So I went into that program with adult bills being paid a teenage salary, okay? And when I say teenage salary, I was paid hourly with adult bills, like actual bills that I needed to pay for like teenage summer job money. And it was frustrating and it put me in a hole, but I was like, you know, this is going to be fine because this is just going to help me in my career, okay? I'm a very work-driven person. And so I was just like, this is going to help me in my career. It's going to be fine. We're going to deal with it. It's going to be fine. Well, I suffered. It sucked. I hated it on that end of it or in that aspect of it. And that put me in a strained situation for a long time. And it took a lot of catching up after I got out of doing the program to get into a better financial situation. And to this day, like, I still struggle with some things. I still am like, that was an oops, but that's okay. We learned from it, right? So I go into it with a very small budget for what I can afford. And if you know anything about Central Florida is very expensive to live in. Very expensive. Most people who work in Florida either still live with family that live here or they have a couple of roommates. Either people that they know or people that they met. There are obviously a lot of amusement parks down here. So there's a lot of amusement park cast members and employees that all room together because they understand that it is very hard to live here because there's like nothing but luxury apartments. And we all get paid to live in like nothing. So we get paid to live in cardboard boxes. For the ratio, man, the freaking living ratio here is a little bit off. So I found some roommates and I was very excited at first. They seemed like very good, genuine people. I was very thankful at the time to move in with them. And this comes back to a little bit of like our personalities as well, right? So I live with these people and it was two couples and I was like, whatever, it's fine. Like, I work a lot. I'm probably not going to be home a lot. I lived with them for a full year or so before pandemic happened. And when the pandemic happened was whenever I think things got really real for a lot of people. Because at that point, you are spending a lot of time that you never necessarily would have spent with somebody unless you had, you know, known them extensively for years. But in this situation, they were my roommates. And because I'm who I am, I of course wanted them to be friends as well. So initially we would hang out sometimes if I wasn't working. They also had kind of opposite schedules of me. So like there weren't a whole lot of days that we could hang out. So everything was friendly. But I'm one of those people that like, if we live together, we live together. I like you. I live with you. I don't necessarily need to say hello to you every time I see you in a room. That's just me. I'm not a grouchy butt, but that's just me, especially in the morning. Like, that is the reason that I take my vitamins in the morning, because I'm not a morning person. It is hard for me. Like, to this day, I wake up and my boyfriend is like a super morning person, and he's like, good morning, I love you. And I'm like, meh. Like, that's how I respond. Like, he just knows. And so I am living with him for 2 years now, and or had been living with him for going on 2 years now. Pandemic has happened. We have been alone for a long time, and I just started to notice things that would bother me. And so my one philosophy in life, and I knew that I was getting to the point where I wanted to live on my own. I already knew that. My one philosophy in life is, if there is something wrong in a situation, or there's something I don't like about a person, or I don't want to be around a person, if there is nothing that can be done about that situation, the one thing that can change is that I can remove myself from it. So ultimately, my thought always goes to, let me remove myself from a situation because it's uncomfortable for me. So like during certain times when I knew I was already kind of irritated, and I suffer from anxiety and depression too, so that kind of puts me in some funky mood sometimes. It just does. And I know this about myself, but whenever I would get in those situations where I just didn't really want to be around people, or, you know, like one of them was having an off day, or maybe one of them said something that, you know, just kind of irritated me a little bit, I would kind of just go to my room and retreat. Well, I would spend a lot of time in my room during quarantine, and apparently because I just really didn't communicate well with them, as in like I stopped saying hello to them when I would see them in the kitchen, even though in my mind that's just how I was and how I worked, they never asked like, hey, you don't really talk to us anymore, like what's going on? Or they never said like, you stopped saying hello to us. Like, there wasn't a communication with that. And it ended up coming to this giant, like, horrible head. And there's a lot that I haven't mentioned because the point of me talking about this is not to belittle anybody or talk bad about anybody, because I'm like, that's not who I want to be. And it's not, there was a lot that went wrong. There was a lot of miscommunication, but I just want to get it out there because I want you guys to understand that if you are in a situation that you think, is not okay for you, then you need to remove yourself. The things that I do want to mention with this, okay, are the things that were wrong that should have been handled differently. And I don't necessarily mean on their end, but definitely on my end. So we had been living together. I kind of just stopped saying hello to them. They took that as I didn't like them. I was upset with them. We had had a couple of uncomfortable conversations. One of them was about me paying rent a little bit late, because again, I am not the best financially, and every day is a struggle and a growth at the same time. So we'd had an uncomfortable conversation, and so they're not just two couples. The two girls are sisters. So I'm living with two girls who have a lifelong bond. Okay. One of the couples has been married for years. The other couple had been together for a couple of years and was going to get married. Like, that, they just were. He hadn't asked yet, but we all knew that they were their soulmates, right? So I am already going into this situation thinking we can all be friends when there are already friendships there and there are already lifelong bonds there. And I didn't think, oh, you're gonna just accept me like your sister. That's not necessarily what I wanted, but it started to get a little uncomfortable because of their sister bond. You know, they would always do stuff together. Well, that's expected because they're sisters. So I had that moment of where I felt a little left out. And then I was like, you know what? It's fine. Like, it's never going to be like that. You're not their sister. You don't want to be their sister. So it's okay. And I accepted that and got past it. And then, you know, with being humans, we all have things that we're insecure about or we struggle with. And so both of the guys kind of struggled with anxiety in a way. And it was just odd for me a little bit because one of them was a situation that I personally just could not really understand as much. Like I understood and I had sympathy for, but I'm just, knowing me, I'm one of the people that I'm like, no, we just handle that. Like when you are struggling and you are trying to defeat something, I have always been this way in my anxiety and depression. You work at it and you get better. And for one of them, he just really struggled with it hard, and it would frustrate me sometimes, and I would have to kind of put myself in my place and be like, look, that's not your situation. If it's frustrating you, that's not something that you have to necessarily worry about. You just remove yourself from the situation. So then I would retreat to my room. Well, the other gentleman didn't really get to know me, and kind of just knew me through his girlfriend because he was just that type of way. He was a little bit reclusive in the sense that he didn't necessarily like care to get to know other people. That might have been from past experiences. I don't know. But either way, we didn't really spend a lot of time together. He would say hey in passing, and that was fine. But here I am living in this dynamic. And at first it was fine, and then it wasn't. And I realized how, over time, it really just got uncomfortable for me. And then that it became, okay, I know I want to live on my own. And then I started dating somebody. So the dynamic that we had, and it's not necessarily it came to I was dating somebody, okay? The dynamic that we had was that, like, and I didn't realize this until later, okay? Until later, and I was looking back. And it's always that you don't realize something until you look back in hindsight. You're never going to have foresight. You're always going to look back in hindsight. And that's just how life works. That's how God works. Like, we can't see the future. We don't know what he has planned for us. We just go through the lessons, and hopefully you learn it, because if not, you're going to go through the lesson again. So until you learn it. So I really didn't think when I moved in with him that it was going to be you are moving into their house, because we lived in a house. You essentially are a guest paying rent in their house. That was not the dynamic I had. The dynamic I had was I pay rent and pay a portion of the bills in this house so I can do as I please. Well, I don't think they saw it that way that very much, or that much, because they would have people over, they would have people stay. In the beginning it was, hey, is it cool if like so-and-so comes over? And we all had our own restrooms. Okay. But the thing is, I had the restroom that was in the hallway, and, they had their restrooms that were in their bathroom, or their bathrooms that were in their rooms, connected to their rooms. So whenever people would come over, they'd be like, hey, they're going to stay in the guest room down the hall. Do you mind if they use your restroom if they need to? And I would always say, no, I don't mind. Right. As things progressed and things started to bother me, it became a thing where it bothered me, because obviously I'm not thinking so much on friendly terms. And then at that point, like, you know, I did say something, but, they would have their friends over, and it was, do you mind if, like, is everybody cool if this person stays? And then it became, we're just not really going to mention until they're already going to stay. Like, oh yeah, this person's coming over. They're staying for like a week. So, needless to say, all of that has happened. I have a boyfriend, and he had been coming over, and, sometimes he would stay the night, and I realized that he was that person for me. I mean, he is that person for me. That's my person. The first night that he stayed the night is the best that I had ever slept in my life. With somebody else, because I'm one of those people who cares so much about other people and how comfortable they are, that if you're sleeping in the bed with me, I generally don't sleep well. And I also generally do not sleep well at other people's houses, because I'm just very aware of the new place and all of that. So he stayed the night, and I loved it because I slept so well and I felt safe and I felt comfortable. And, he stayed the night a good bit, and I don't know if it bothered them. They never said anything. But then he had a family thing that happened, and his family thing affected where he was staying because he was living with them, and then he couldn't live with them anymore. And so, I had gotten the sense at this point that they really did not, like, they would not respond well if I asked if he could stay with us until he found a place. And at this point, our lease for the house would have been going up in May this month. And I had been thinking about starting to look for places to live on my own and what I could truly afford and what I could cut out of my life so that I could afford and all the financial things. Kind of back in like January-ish. And I hadn't started, well, really like December, January-ish. I hadn't started to look super hard. It wasn't something that I took that seriously, but it was something that I started to think about. And then it got closer and closer, and I was like, you know what? I don't care where I live. I could live in my car, but I can't live with them anymore. Like, I just don't want to. And so, at that point, I felt like it would have been uncomfortable. They would have not responded well to me asking for him to stay. And so I kind of, just out of frustration, you know, I would talk to them about certain things. And it was crazy because here we are in the sense where, like, one of the sisters doesn't talk to me. Our relationship feels weird. I sort of talk to them occasionally about certain things. And they never say, like, oh, you talk to us now. Or, like, why are you talking to us now if you won't talk to us in the meantime in small talk? Like, none of this was ever said, right? So, on my end, because I'm going through things and I'm stressed and I don't want to say the wrong thing, I have been spending a lot of time in my room and kind of reclusive. But I'm not thinking that anything is necessarily wrong in this, right? That they have an issue with me. I just know that I don't want to live with him anymore. Like, that's what I know. And, man. So, I had mentioned to them his family and situation because it was just, it blew my mind, how it happened and all of that. And, so, and everything that went on. And they were aware of it. And so, I told them that we were trying to find somewhere for him to stay. We didn't know what he was going to do. And then it kind of was like, I just wish that he was here all the time. And so I finally just sucked it up and knew it probably would not get a good response and sent the house in our group text a message and was like, hey, like, I know that the boys don't know him very well, but would you mind if, you know, we paid a couple $100 if he just stayed for a couple of weeks until, you know, he found something, right? Their answer was, not including the days that he's already stayed here. And they never wanted to say anything over text either. That was a weird part for me. Like, I don't necessarily need to talk about things in person. I guess they really like to. But they would never tell me over text. It always had to be, oh, we'll talk whenever you get home. We'll talk, you know, in person later. Making me think that it's, like, the worst conversation ever that's going to happen. I don't know about you, but somebody who suffers with anxiety, like, you don't really want to be told, hey, we need to have a conversation. That always is, like, doomsday words, okay? It really is. So, they're like, hey, not including the days that he's already spent over here. Because it had been, like, 3 or 4 days since, like, his family kicked him out. Or, like, he left his house. So, it had already been a couple days, and they were like, you know, not including the days that he's already spent here, we're fine with letting him stay for a week. Because in our lease agreement, it says that you can't have anybody stay for over a week. And it's just very ironic to me that this happened, because technically, they had been subleasing to me, and I was not on the lease. The house had to abide by HOA rules. The leasing company, or the company that owned the house, and the HOA really did not like us living there because we were renters. They really preferred people to buy. Like, before you buy a house, you better look into an HOA. That's all I'm saying. Like, look into the neighborhood, look into the HOA rules, look into all of that, because some of it will drive you bananas, okay? So there's like all this stuff. They'd been kind of paranoid. I think they were kind of like paranoid people anyway. And I get it, you know, it's strained your life, but also, we'd been living there for a long time. They had been living there for a long time prior to me even moving in with them, kind of breaking the rules. So suddenly it just came to a head, and suddenly, like, it wasn't okay because also they were upset with me. So, you know, 7 days goes by, we're trying to figure things out. He suggests that we just apply for an apartment and move out. And this is at the end of March. And I just kept feeling really guilty because I'm like, I pay a portion of the rent here. If I move out, they're going to have to pay a portion of the rent. That portion of the rent, they're going to have to cover it. And the reason I felt so guilty was because it would be very short notice. And I have just never worked that way. I've always given plenty of time because I was considerate of other people in that sense. And COVID happened. A lot of people lost their jobs and they had been living off of unemployment like a lot of people. Now, with that being said, I also am one of those people that I have worked my entire life, plenty of times in my adult life, without insurance at a job that I did not really want to be at because I needed to make ends meet. And they just weren't those type of people. And so there were moments of frustration because of applying to jobs or not choosing to apply to a job that was hiring because they didn't have insurance or they didn't have this. And I'm that person that knows, okay, eventually it's going to come to a point where you're going to panic. But again, I'm not living your life. You make your decisions, you know. So there were things like that that would frustrate me. And knowing that they were living off of unemployment, they didn't really have that extra money. They couldn't just go pick up those extra hours at work. I felt guilty if I was like, hey, I'm leaving in 3 days. And so we had been talking and he was like, we should just apply. And finally, it got to a point where it was so uncomfortable that we did go apply for a place. And we ended up getting the place. And I ended up moving out very quickly, which is not what I planned, but this happened all after we got home from spending time together one day on one of my off days, and it was getting to that point where he had already stayed an extra night because I just decided that I wanted him to stay. I didn't want him to sleep in his car or have to sleep anywhere else, and they had all gone to bed, so I didn't want to wake anybody and ask, and just had him stay because it was so late after I got off of work and after he got off of work. And so it was like the ninth day, and he was out in the car. He had his COVID shot, and so he's laying in the car. I go inside because I had asked him where he put his keys, you know, or if he had them with him or if they were upstairs. So I go inside, and my roommate had gone inside at this point. I go inside, go upstairs, get his keys, come down, and I'm like ambushed at the foot of the stairs because apparently she had gone out and taken the dog out again, and he had moved in the car and scared the living daylights out of her. And so I was ambushed with all these crazy accusations, and they felt really crazy because it was like, why are you lying to us? I feel like you're lying to us. Like, why is he going to stay the night again? Did he stay the night last night? Like, why is he in your car? And it was me feeling like a teenager trying to explain to my parents, trying to get out of a situation. And I'm like, this is insane. Like, this is insane. He's not staying the night tonight. And they're like, well, why? Cause it was both of my girl roommates. They're like, well, why is he in the car then? And I'm like, because we were hanging out and he was tired. He got his COVID shot, and he was laying in the car, and then he left his keys upstairs, so I went to go get his keys. And they're like, yeah, but why is he in the back seat? I'm like, because we were hanging out at the nature preserve. And so I'm going through all these explanations, and then it suddenly becomes like, why are you lying to us? Like, we feel like you're lying to us. We've done nothing but be nice to you, and we've done nothing. And bringing all this stuff up, like the time that I had to go get my wisdom teeth out, and she gratefully, I mean, not gratefully, I was grateful. She took me and was nice enough to take care of me and clean up, you know, when I spit up in her car. And, you know, those are things that I'm very, very grateful for. And I would do the same for them if they needed me to. So that comes up, and then apparently, you know, one of them had been fighting with her husband, the married couple. They'd been fighting because he really had decided that he didn't like me, and they had been fighting over, I think, me even living there at that point. And she would go to bat for me and fight with her husband over me. But none of this was ever said to me. Like, it was never said to me, there's a problem within the household. Like, whatever it is, we need to figure it out. We didn't have, like, a household family sit-down conversation. So, like, this is the head that everything came to. And this is where I just had this mixture of emotions that I was like, I knew I needed to leave, but I didn't know how bad this was going to be. I didn't know that this is what was happening because communication didn't happen. And it kind of validated how I was feeling in a way. And so we literally, like, the next day or so went and applied and got accepted for the apartment. And literally it was, we got accepted for an apartment today, and we are moving out. Like, not we, but we got it accepted for an apartment, and I'm moving out, and that's happening tomorrow. So it was a crazy couple of days, and it's just funny because I never would have told you that's how that would have gone when I first moved in there. But looking back on it, trying to process my emotions toward it and not feel crazy or feel like an asshole or, you know, feel this whole bucket of other emotions, and just trying to process everything after I had just spent 2 years really trying to figure out what processing my emotions felt like and figuring out what emotions as an adult felt like. And when I say emotions, like obviously we know happy, sad. You know, you start to learn what depressed and anxiety is and things like that. But sometimes you don't understand your reaction to certain things because that's where those traumas come in. And it was doing a lot of like self-development work as far as like reading books on things like that, reading books on development as a leader, and all of that, that helped me to really understand those things. So after I'd spent, like, you know, the last 2 years really just working on myself and understanding myself more and how to listen to my body and things it was telling me and, you know, all of that, it was really weird to go through all those emotions because I just remember at one point telling them, I'm so glad that I found you guys. I really, you know, I really love you guys because, you know, you've opened your doors for me to move in with you guys and in a time that I needed it. And you know, I had even expressed at one point that it was weird for me because there was something that happened and one of the guys got frustrated in his own way and kind of growled, but he kind of angrily said something and it put me in this place that I didn't want to be in this feeling of like, I owe you and you can hold something over me. And this is that part of me where being very independent, you know, I hated, and I, to this day, I still hate it, but I hate whenever people can hold things over me and feel like they have power over me and feel like they can tell me what they want me to do, or they have the ability to, you know, affect my life in that way. So I had even mentioned, I was like, it's an insecurity of mine, but I feel like, you know, literally at this point, like at any point, you could be like, you have to leave, you have to get out. And so here I am carrying this around with me anyway. And then we're going through this huge thing that came to a head because of failed communication. apparently on both ends. But when you walk around and you think that nothing is wrong, you don't know that something is wrong. And so I know that there are probably areas where I was at fault, but I definitely know there are areas where they were at fault in that, because if I don't know that something is wrong, if I don't know that something is bothering you, I can't help that. I can't fix that. I can't change that. And the same in return. I can't read your mind. I don't know, you know, what I'm doing wrong that affects you or bothers you. So, when I looked back and I really looked at the situation, especially after everything my boyfriend had just gone through, our situations were so similar in how things were sort of like how they happened. And I had just told him all these things and consoled him about so many things and given him advice that it really just kind of slapped me in the face a little bit, because it was like, wow, I really did move in. And it was like, I was moving into their house. Like, there was space for me, but there wasn't space for me. Like, I was moving into their house and I was living in their house. It wasn't our house. I was moving into their house. And it was their rules, and they wanted me to live by their rules. And when I didn't live by their rules, that's when they didn't really like it. But they were rules that we never talked about. And so it was very frustrating. And I just spent so much time feeling like I didn't want to be in it. And I also spent so much time battling how I felt about it that it kind of almost paralyzed me in a way. And so I really wanted to kind of talk about that, because if you're ever in a situation where it doesn't feel comfortable for you, I don't care how bad it feels to do what you know you need to do for you. If you don't know what healthy boundaries are, you need to set them. You need to set them and keep them, because the number one thing that I will always tell everybody is you need to find your peace and you need to protect the hell out of it. And that wasn't peaceful for me, and it created so much anxiety and turmoil and sadness and unhappiness that at the end of the day, even though it sucked to be like, I'm moving out tomorrow, it's what had to be done. And it made me realize, it taught me a lot of things in the sense that I now going forward will not care quite as much if I befriend somebody and then realize they're not my people. They're not somebody that I jive with. They're not somebody that we really get along very well. It's okay for me to put that boundary up and say, you know what, we're no longer friends. The thing that's funny is how everything is being handled afterwards, because I still owed them part of the power bill, and she had said that she would let me know in the next couple of days what it was, and they didn't have to pay it for a month. And then, of course, like, I wasn't told what it was, and then it was, oh, hey, we need this money. Okay, well, I have other priorities, other bills, and you haven't talked to me for a month. So, cool. And then, you know, something that I had ordered was mistakenly delivered to them through complete accident, because I had put our updated address on there, and they had the old address in the system, so they kind of auto-shipped it out there, and I had messaged them and was like, hey, did this come up? And I have gotten no response. You know, it's funny that those are things that have happened whenever I left there with them saying, oh, I really wanted to be friends with you. I genuinely wanted to be friends with you. Okay, I think that you're just saying this to make yourself feel better, because at this point, I don't really feel like that. And I didn't feel like that before I left. And if you really felt like that, then we should have had a conversation before it even got to this point about how things were affecting you. So I add that on to tell you, to remind you that you're a grown-ass adult. And if you don't like something, you are allowed to say no. You are allowed to leave. You can leave with no explanation. You don't owe anybody an explanation. If you need to do what's best for you, and that means that there is change in your life, other people do not have to be okay with that for you to do what's okay for you. I'm not saying that smoking crack is okay for you, so you should do it. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, if you have those healthy boundaries and you have set those and other people are not being respectful of those boundaries, then it's okay to say you're not welcome in my life and to change that. I am like so just one of my mentors in life in general, because I just love her as a human, she barely knows who I am, and that's okay, but she is probably one of the best people that I have ever gotten to know from afar. We've never met in person, but she actually, I listened to her podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about boundaries and what that was like for her to build those things in her life, and it just, all I can hear is her voice right now, because it's true. You know, I had learned that before, but especially after going through that situation and then listening to her podcast and kind of thinking on it more, it's something that is going to bother me for a while. Something that I'm going to pretty consistently, most likely, kind of think about and just mull over. And not in this, I'm holding on to anger way, but because it's a huge growing thing. Like, it was a huge life thing that is teaching me a lot of stuff, you know, or taught me a lot of stuff. So, I just, that more than anything taught me to never feel bad for doing what is best for me. Like, at the end of the day, you're responsible for you. You have to take care of you. Other people are not going to take care of you. They are worried about themselves. They were worried about their significant other. They were not worried about me. They were not worried about my boyfriend, who I was worried about. They were worried about them and taking care of them. And so I had to be worried about me and take care of me. And it sucked to go through the situation the way that I did and the way that it happened and the way that it happened for them, because in a perfect world, it wouldn't have happened that way. But the world is not perfect, and things in life happen like that. And it just really matters how you handle it. And so I just needed to kind of share that and get that out there and say, you know, maybe that's not the exact situation you're going through, but maybe you went through something similar to that, and maybe you can learn from that too. Maybe you don't have those boundaries in your life and you don't know necessarily how to deal with that, but maybe it's something that you need to do. So I encourage you to do a little bit of self-help. If you feel like you need to talk to somebody, get a therapist. I recommend talking to somebody. Set those boundaries, even if it's the people who are closest to you. It doesn't matter who they are. If you need to set those boundaries, you set them. So I really hope that this helped you guys. I'm so sorry. Excuse me just then. But I really hope this helped you guys. I really hope that you got something from this. If you know somebody in your life who is struggling with something similar to this and you think of them, then probably that's being laid on your heart for you to say, hey, you should take a listen to this. So please go ahead and share away. If you have any questions about anything, I am on Instagram. My personal handle is at Sarita_LS. The podcast is at Real Talks and Hard Love, or Hard Love and Real Talks. Wow. Y'all, this is so sad that I never remember. I made the podcast name and I never remember how it is. But anyways, Instagram handle, same as podcast name. Send me any comments or questions there. And like I said, share, tag me in your stories, share in your stories. Let me know how things are for you. Let me know if this helped you. Whatever, you know, if there's something that you're struggling with, maybe it's something that I've struggled with that I can talk on. I would love to just share that, because I think that there's nothing more important in life than personal connection with others. So I hope that you guys have a fantastic day or evening or whenever you're listening to this. I hope that your day is great. I hope that your day tomorrow is wonderful. And I hope that you care about yourself and you remember to put yourself first, because you have to take care of you. I love you guys. I'll talk to you later.